68. We'll discuss the Dayenu. Okay, in the Dayenu it says as follows. It says, Kama malos toivois lamokoim aleinu. Right, look how many great chasodim Hashem did to us. Now, firstly, in those five words, grammatically it's not really correct. Because it should say as follows. It says, Kama malos toivois. Look how many steps of favors Hashem did to us. The appropriate way of writing that line would probably be kama tovot, right? How many favors did Hashem do for us? What does it mean, ma'alot tovos, steps in favors? I mean, that's a very interesting way of writing it.
How many levels of favors?
Levels of favors. What does that mean? That's number one. Number two, lam mokoim aleinu. Lam mokoim means to Hashem.
Right, you would just say, look how many favors I've done for you.
Right, look how many favors, but who's doing the favors? Hashem. It says, Kama mal es toivas, look how many favors, lamakum to Hashem, aleinu have been returned to us. That doesn't make any sense. It should be written, Kama mal es toivas, look how many favors, mimakum, from Hashem, aleinu to us. Okay, very, very obvious and a beautiful question. So just to answer that question, I'm going to first bring a Yesoid. There's a very famous Medrash in Koheles, right? The Medrash says that we are not the first world that Hashem has created, mm-hmm. right? It's the Medrash tells us that Hashem, when He created the world, was Bonei Olam Imachrivon. Hashem would create a world, and after He created the world, He would destroy it. And on that world, which means whatever was left after Hashem destroyed the first world, He created the second world. It's worthwhile to see there's a Ramban on the Oretz Hoysu Toyu Vavoyu. So the Ramban says that Toyu and Vayu is not nothing, but rather it's two previous worlds that actually existed. That's what the Ramban writes. Toyu and Vayu are previous worlds that truthfully existed already. Okay.
Good luck reading that Ramban.
Huh?
Good
yes,
luck reading
yes,
that
yes,
Ramban.
Yes, yes, yes. A very difficult Ramban to understand.
Even in English, I didn't understand.
But the truth is that if you'll really read that Ramban well, it will answer many questions in Emunah. Because one of the hardest questions that everybody deals with is that you see a stone, and the stone suddenly is 4 million years old, 8 million years old, and nobody understands. How is it possible? And there are all types of ways of answering those questions. Not that we need answers to those questions, but once you realize that this world is only what was created on previous worlds that were sort of recycled, and that's how this world was created, so there's really no question, because that stone is really that we have in this world is really built on a stone of another world. So truthfully speaking, it will not be any question in how many years we know this world actually is, and how you'll find the geologist will take a look at a stone and the information they'll give to you. Okay, now, so it's a very interesting concept, and the question is, why did Hashem create the world that way? Why did Hashem want the world should be in the situation of Boinei Oilam Machriven? And the answer is, Hashem did to us a tremendous chesed. Hashem realized that the original world He created was not ready to accept all of that chesed and all of that Torah and all of that Kedusha that Hashem intended the world should be able to accept. And therefore Hashem had to put the world through a purifying and a cleansing, and to destroy one world which wasn't yet worthy of accepting the Torah and accepting all the Kedusha, and turn it into another world. Until Hashem saw that the world that He can create was the world that can accept what Hashem had to offer to the world, which is an important concept, and it will also explain to us many different things. For example, you read Parshas Vayishlach, and you have the dream of Yaakov, and you see there's a concept of a sulam mutzav arza, v'roish megiyah shemaima. So, you know, to the child, the sulam is a ladder, because how else are you going to crawl into Shemaim if you don't have a ladder? The reality is that if you know how to get to Shemaim, you don't need a ladder, and if you have a ladder, it won't help you get to Shemaim. So what is the significance of that sulam, right? What is that ladder all about? And the answer, according to what we're saying, is a very obvious answer. The answer is that in order to get up to Shemayim, it's not something that you can get there right away. And Hashem has many ma'alot and madrigot in order that a person can actually get there. And Hashem can't give you all of those madrigot immediately. He needs to bring you up to one level, purify you a little bit more, and keep on giving it to you in increments, or else you would never actually get there. The same thing happened when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim. When the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, it was impossible for us for Hashem to suddenly give everything to us. Why could Hashem not give everything to us? Hashem wanted to give us the Torah, and Hashem wanted to give us Eretz Yisrael But there was one problem. Hashem saw how low we were. Now, he couldn't leave us there anymore and take us out slowly, because or else we would have entered into the Nun Shari Tumah, and then we would have been done, and we could never have actually come out from there. So what did Hashem do? Hashem had to do an extra chesed to us. And what was that chesed? To keep on removing us from the Tumah behadroga, step by step by step. And every time he picked you up a little bit, he can now bring you to a higher level. Now, if you take a look, in the Dayenu, we say 15 chasodim that Hashem did to us, which culminates in the giving to us the Mon, and the Torah, and Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash. And why don't we go to the 15th level right away? And the obvious answer is because it's impossible, because then we never ever would have been able to absorb what Hashem had to offer to us. So therefore now you can read the words and how beautifully they work. Kama malois toivois. Look how many levels there are in the toivois, in the chesed and the favors, lamokim, to reach up to what Hashem has to, for us to reach, lamokim, to Hashem, aleinu, that he can return to us the appropriate favor. Very, very important taich in reading, because if you don't understand it that way, the first few words, grammatically, it absolutely doesn't read. And this is a beautiful explanation. It's a bit deep to really to understand the concept of boina oilam machrivan, and we would have to have a few shiurim to really understand that, but just to touch on it, that's definition of those words. Now, there's a beautiful thought which is said from the Belzer Rebbe, the Sar Shulam, the Reb Shulam Belzer, once said a beautiful thought. And he had a beautiful diuk. It says as follows, it says, Ilu osa veleihehem. Had Hashem done veleihehem, had Hashem gone and annihilated the Avodah Zorah. Right, go down to the third one. Ili osa veliheim. Had Hashem annihilated the Avodah Zorah. But v'loi harag b'chareim. But Hashem did not go and kill the b'chareim. Dayenu, that would be enough. Now, anybody that reads the Chumash in Parshas Boy realizes that this pasuk is written out of order. Why is this pasuk written out of order? I'll quote you the pasuk. What the pasuk says in Parshas Boy. V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim, b'alayla hazeh, v'hikesi kol b'chor, b'eretz Mitzrayim, v'chol elihei Mitzrayim, eseh shvatim, right, ani Hashem. So if you think about it, Hashem says to you, I went through Mitzrayim, and what did I do when I went through Mitzrayim? I went and I killed every single b'chor, and after I killed every single b'chor, what's the next thing I do? I went and I annihilated the Avodah Zorah, which is an obvious question. What is the very, very obvious question? The Baal HaGadol says, had Hashem killed their gods and not killed their Bechayrim, Dayenu, that would be enough. But it's not correct. Hashem first went and killed the Bechayrim, and then Hashem went and he attacked the Avodah Zorah. So how come the Baal HaGadol goes and he mixes up and he says it not in its appropriate order? Listen to a beautiful thought that Reb Shalom Belzer once, the Belzer Rebbe, said, and it really, really hits the spot, because if you want to hear a word on the Haggadah, which is real pshat, listen to this pshat that he says. The Gemara in Masechtas Avodah Zorah Daf Nun Beis says, there are two things. There's an Avodah Zorah, and there is the Mishamshei Avodah Zorah. The Avodah Zorah is the actual idol. The Mishamshei Avodah Zorah is either the person or the item that serves to the Avodah Zorah. The Avodah Zorah has a Kedusha, which means, it doesn't mean a Kedusha, it means a Tumah, but it has a certain Kedusha, which you have an obligation to destroy. You also have an obligation to destroy not only the Avodah Zorah, but the Mishamshei Avodah Zorah. Whoever serves the Avodah Zorah, you're obligated to destroy him too. Okay, got it? Those are two obligations that we have. Now listen, and you'll hear a beautiful thought, which is written in the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you go and you destroy the Avodah Zorah, now you say, oh, I still have Mishamshei Avodah Zorah. You don't have to destroy them anymore. Why? Because the Mishamshim only have value as long as there's an Avodah Zorah, right? The Avodah Zorah has its own Kedusha, but the Mishamshei Avodah Zorah only have a Kedusha because there's Avodah Zorah. If you destroy the Avodah Zorah, you don't have to destroy the Mishamshei Avodah Zorah. Now, how about if you destroy the Mishamshei Avodah Zorah? You still have an obligation to destroy the Avodah Zorah, because the Avodah Zorah retains its own Kedusha. Hashem, when he came to the Mitzrayim, wanted to take the ultimate revenge in the Mitzrayim to protect us. And Hashem wanted to destroy them as much as possible. Therefore, Hashem had a choice of how he can do it. Had Hashem gone and first been osa veleihehem, and actually gone after the Avodah Zorah, so what would have happened next? Now Hashem would leave over the Bechorim, because the Bechorim were those that were the Meshamshei Avodah Zorah. They were the Kohanim. They were the ones that were serving the Avodah Zorah. But had Hashem, since Hashem wanted to do to them the ultimate punishment, so what did he do? Vavati Be'etz Mitzrayim. And the first thing he did was the case he called Bechor Be'etz Mitzrayim. Hashem went and he destroyed every Bechor at the Meshamshim. And then now there's still an obligation. I'm still going to go after the gods of the Mitzrayim. Now the Baal Haggadah explains the chesed that Hashem did to us. And he says as follows. Had Hashem only gone and destroyed their gods. And what? And at that point it wouldn't be necessary anymore to kill the Bechorim, because they are simply Dayenu, that would be enough for us. But Kavachoyma, Hashem went. Not only he destroyed the Avodah Zorah, but in order to be able to destroy the Bechorim, he first destroyed the Meshamshei Avodah Zorah, and once he destroyed the Meshamshei Avodah Zorah, he went directly after the Avodah Zorah itself. I think it's just a beautiful pshat, because it's a pshat that really, really works in the words, you know, and it's not, as long as you hear the Torah, which is very nice, but it's like sort of, you know, more esoteric. This is a true pshat to the actual words. Okay, now, we'll move on here. In the Dayenu, there's a, let's go to another one of the members in the Dayenu. It says as follows. It says, okay, Ilu Kora Lonu Es Hayam, had Hashem done Kriyas Yamsef, but V'loy Heviranu B'Soychei Becharova, we went through, but we didn't go through when it was totally dry, right? So Dayenu, that would be more than enough. Right, that would be enough. If had we gone through the Yamsuf, we would have come out a bit wet. Now, why do you want to go through the Yamsuf and come out wet? What are you accomplishing by coming out wet from the Yamsuf? And what's the tremendous chesed that we don't come out wet from the Yamsuf? You know, they say the very famous story that was one of the great rabbis said the Shira on Shabbos Shira. And as he was saying the Shira on Shabbos Shira, so he said it over with such fervor, with such kavana, that the people there picked up the bottom of their clothing that it shouldn't get wet. They actually felt like they were going through the Yam Suf. So they, one of the Hasidim told this to the Kotzker Rebbe. So when he said it to the Kotzker Rebbe, he said, if you truly had the kavana, like you felt you were going through a Yam Suf, you wouldn't have had the time to go and pick up your clothing. You would have been totally, totally there. But so what is the great Mila of this tremendous Mila? Let me repeat to you a beautiful word, which is written from the Vilna Gaon. The Gro says a beautiful thought, and then we'll work it back into understanding this line. The Pasuk tells us in Pashas Beshalach, the Pasuk tells us two psukim, one that follows the other. It says, "Vnei Yisrael holchu bayabosha b'soich hayom." The Yidden went bayabosha, right, in the area that was dry. B'sochayom The first person says, "Vnei Yisrael holchu b'sochayom bayabosha." V'amayim lehem choyma. Right. The next pasuk tells us, "Vnei Yisrael holchu bayabosha." They went in the yabosha. B'sochayom. Right. V'amayim lehem choyma. Minim mismaylom. So the Gro asks two questions. Firstly, why in the first pasuk it says they went b'sochayom bayabosha? The second pasuk, it says they went by Yabosha b'soich hayom. Right? That's question number one. Secondly, it says, the first pasuk, it says the word choyma, and the second pasuk, it says the word choyma. The first pasuk, choyma, is spelled with a vav. The second pasuk, choyma, is spelled without a vav. Ches mem hei, without a vav. The Gemara in Soita points out this drush, and the Gemara says, al tikri, don't call it choyma, ela chema, call it anger. Why? Because the sar came to Hashem, and the sar said, the Tsar of the Mitzrayim said, why are you going and favoring the Jews over the Mitzrayim? Halolo Avodah Zarah, Balolo Avodah Zarah. Right? Both of them are doing the Avodah Zarah. That's what the Tsar said to Hashem. So Al Tikra Choyma, don't call it a wall, Ela Chema. Hashem got angry and he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's the Tup Shatim, which is written in the, that's what the Gemara says. So the Vilna Goyen asks, if that's the case, why is it that the first Pasuk already, when it said what? Vamayim Lehem Choyma, isn't it spelled already without a vav? And why does it wait for the second pasuk to be spelled without a vav? And also, there's the other question: why does the first pasuk say b'soich hayom b'yabosha, and the second pasuk says b'yabosha b'soich hayom? So the Vilna Gaon says a beautiful answer. He says, who went into the Yamsa first? immediately, Nachshon ben Aminadav and his close friends with Mesiris Nefesh, they jumped in. When they jumped in, how did they jump in? By Besoich Hayom, they went into the water, and what? By Yabosha, right? It happens to be, there was a Hashem made that it should become a Yabosha. On them, there was no Choyma, there was no Chema, there was no Avodah Zarah with them. How did the second group go in? Second group says, let's see what happens. Let's find out what's going to happen here. Because they also had the Pesel Micha with them. They were the stragglers. They had the Avodah Zarah with them. So when they went through, they waited for Yabosha, and they entered into Yabosha, B'soy Chayam. Okay, so the Goyin says that the second time it says Choyma, it's Chosavav, Artikel Choyma Elochem. That's the word that the Vilna Goyin says. The bottom line is, the Yidden went into the Yabosha. How did they go into the Yabosha? Not in a very pretty situation. They went in, not really, they weren't truthfully Zoicha. In Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Gimel, the Gemara tells us a story that Rabbi Shua Kohen Gadol had to go, was thrown into a Kivshan Ha'esh, into a fire, because of a story. He didn't want to do Avodah Zarah. Him, together with a few other people, the other people were burnt. And he came out, his clothing was scorched. He didn't get burnt, he was saved, but his clothing was scorched. So Rav Papa says, why was he saved? Why wasn't he? Why he was saved. But if he was saved, why was his clothing scorched? Why did his clothing get burnt? Says, Shahava le limchais al b'nei doiroi. He went and he did the right thing himself, but he should have been a moicha, and he should have told the other people in this generation, had you do something of this sort, you weren't allowed to do this. That is what is quoted in the Gemara. So Reb Reuven Margolius wrote a sefer on Sanhedrin, and the name of the sefer is Margolius Hayam. And he says a beautiful thought. He says, the bottom line is, when you're saved, but you're not totally clean, you walk out saved, but you're not going to walk out totally clean. You're going to get your clothing scorched. So Reuven Margolius says, Klai Yisrael went through the Yamsuf. And what has happened? V'amayim lehem choyma, al tikru choyma lechema. And they waited, and what happened to the situation? It was by Yabosha. Then they went in B'soy Chayom. So how did they get Yabosha? They should have at least come out. Their clothing should have been muddy. They shouldn't have come out totally clean. They should have come out dirty with mud on their clothing. And Hashem went, even though all of that, Hashem did them the chesed by Yetzias Mitzrayim to say, I'll take you out, even your clothing is going to remain dry. That's the chesed that Hashem did to us at this time. So now look how beautifully it works out. Ili, kore lono esayom, but v'lo yevelon b'saycha v'charov, we wouldn't have come out totally dry, and we deserve not to come out totally dry. You understand? We should have come out, it should be totally dry. You should have had mud on your clothing. So that is the special chesed that Hashem did to us. And for that chesed, we give a special thanks to Hashem. Okay, let's focus on another one or two of the Dayenos. I mean, you can literally speak on every one of the Dayenos you can speak on this concept for many, many hours. I'm just picking a few here and there in order to give us some beautiful insights in the Haggadah. I mean, the Haggadah you can speak about more than any other topic. They once asked the Malbim, there's more Haggadahs printed than any other sefer, if you notice. There's thousands and thousands of them printed. So they asked the Malbim, why are there so many printed? So the Malbim said that if you take a look, the Haggadah always has a picture of the Chacham and of the Rosha. He says they have to reprint it every single year because last year's Rosha became this year's Chacham. He said, you know, as the generations are going down, he says, you got to keep on, revising the Haggadah every single year. I'll ask you a beautiful question, which I've seen. And there's obviously, if you were to cut certain parts of the Dayenu, there's certain things that we really can't do without. And you'll see, you know, we say, Hashem, if you only did this and not that, you know, we'll see soon. Ili kevon lefnei hasinei. If you just gave us, you know, the Har Sinai. But no Torah. No Torah, right?
The first one.
Yes,
where would we be?
Would we be? But at least we'd be out. See, there we can say, okay, so you didn't teach them a lesson, but you pulled us out. But for example, Ili kevon lefnei hasinei v'lein nosalonos haTorah. You're going to come to Hasina with no Torah. So what are you going to have without a Torah? What are you going to go to Hasina to see the view from Hasina? What do you have from Hasina without a Torah? That's number one. But, you know, another one. You know, they say over a very beautiful story. They say that somebody once saw there was the army prints the Haggadah. So they print, for the soldiers, there's three parts. There is this for the Orthodox, for the conservative, and for the reform in this Haggadah. So the Orthodox It's a regular Haggadah. The other ones, you know, the problem is that the Haggadah in the army, they don't always have the time to say the first Haggadah, so they have an abridged version. And they each one took out what they felt was really important for the Haggadah. You know, like a Havineinu, you know, the Gemara Baruchah says, when you're traveling and you can't daven a full davening, the Tefillah Ketzorah. So the Reform Haggadah just kept two parts from the Dayenu. The two parts were, Ili Nosan Lono Es Memoinam, right? We have just the money and no Torah, that'll be enough. But the bottom line is, certain parts, how could you skip? How could you skip, for example, I'll ask you the question. Il nosen lanu es hamon, had Hashem given us the mon, v'loi nosen lanu es hashabas dayenu. Hashem, give us the mon, which is the panasah, right? V'loi nosen lanu es hashabas, no Shabbat, dayenu, that's more than enough for us. So what's going on over here? I mean, that's very difficult, I think, to imagine. I saw a beautiful pshat one time. The Chacham Avadia wrote a beautiful Haggadah. I'm sure you've seen it. There's a lot of beautiful, you know, stories, and it's a very, very beautiful Haggadah. So he has there there was a rabbi in Tunis. His name was Reb Ma'atik Ma'aziz. Okay, he says a beautiful mashal. He says, what is the point of the mon? And what's the point of Shabbos? What is the mon mean to us, and what does Shabbos mean to us? What are the definitions of these two words? Why does Hashem give us Shabbos? For one reason, that a person that's working all week, what should he do on Shabbos? He should go sit and learn. That's the whole purpose of the mon, and that's the whole purpose of Shabbos. Right? That is the true definition of why we have these days. Right? What does the Gemara tell us? Le'nitnu Torah ela lo'ochlei haman. The Torah was given for the ochlei haman, which means what did the Torah truthfully want? You should have the man, so that if you have the man, you'll be able to spend your time learning. Right? That's really what the true intention was. Now, if sheishes yamim, what's that? Right. Ela
le'mot Torah.
Exactly. That's the whole purpose of Shabbat, to learn Torah. Right? And the person that's not zocheh to learn Torah all week, so what does he do? He spends Shabbat learning Torah. If sheishes yamim te'osem alocha, through other people, then for you, v'yayim eshvi, Shabbos l'Hashem l'kecha, it's kule kodesh, you can rest. But if that's not the case, you should be spending your Shabbat learning. Now, but on the other hand, if a person's really zocheh, he can be in a higher level of Shabbat. And what's that level? The level of mon. And the level of mon is that he has such, page 68, he has such tremendous emunah that he can learn not just on Shabbat, he can learn all week. So this Matik Ma'azuz says, exactly that's the pshat. Ili nosen lanu es hamon. If a person should always imagine, I wish I can be in the level of mon, I should be studying the Torah all the time. V'loi nosen lanu es hashabbos. I don't want to be on the lower level of only learning Torah on Shabbos. I would like to be all the time on the level of mon. So dayenu, that would be for us more than enough if we can get onto that level. Let's take another one. Which
that's a nice drush.
It's a nice drush. It's not pshat. I agree 100%. Let's talk. Well, you want to know pshat? The only thing I saw pshat, but it's a bit esoteric, is that in the mon is nichlal the kedusha of Shabbos. Because if you look in the Gemara and Shabbos, all of the limudim that we learn out of when you have the limudim that you learn out of the sudat Shabbat, you learn out from mon. For example, three sudot you learn out from mon, right? Ichli hayoim ki Shabbos hayoim hayoim loisim tzubasode. So the Gemara says, since it says three times hayoim, so you learn out that you have three sudot on Shabbat. How do you learn out you have to have lecha mishnah? From the mon. So in the mon, it encapsulated already the kedusha of Shabbos. And when the Yidden were on that proper level, they would have gotten the kedusha of Shabbos from the mon.
Without keeping Shabbat, without having a mitzvah of Shabbat.
So I'll touch on that now. Wait! I'm going to tell you a beautiful pshat now, and you're going to hear. I hear your point, and I'm about to get to that. Excellent. Let's go next, right into that. Let's go right down to the source. Ili kevonu lefnei har Sinai v'loy nosen lanu es haTorah dayenu. So okay, now you're talking about one mitzvah. I'm talking about we didn't receive the whole Torah. That'll be enough. So how could that make any sense? Okay, I'll tell you a few pshatim, how to possibly understand this, but we'll do one pshat and one drush. And we'll do one pshat and one drush, and then we'll cover all bases. Because I agree with you, a lot of these pshatim are very beautiful in Haggadah, but it's not really the pshat. It's worth it to see both. Listen to a pshat firstly, which is written in the Sefer Kedushas Levi, which is written from the Baditshuva. Okay, very beautiful thought, he says. Why did Hashem go and make in every single human being, Ramach Ivorim and Shesa Gidim? Right? Every person has 248 Evarim and 365 Gidin. At the same time, there is Ramach Mitzvahs Asei and Shesam Mitzvah Los Asei. Right? Now, that's not a coincidence. Obviously, the person, just like we need to live physically, we need to live spiritually. That's how the genetic makeup of every person is to live spiritually. How do you live spiritually? Just like you have mazon, right? You have food which feeds every single person. You also have food that feeds our guf, but the ruchnius also has the ability to feed our guf. The problem is that we are in a level of tremendous gashmius and we don't feel it. Now, truthfully speaking, you feel you're hungry. Absolutely. If you were in tuned properly to mitzvot and to the proper ruchnius, you would feel your hands need to shake a lulav now. You would feel you need to wear tefillin now. You understand? That's what would happen to you. Because if there's ramach and shasa connected...
Like the avot.
Oh, exactly. So he says, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamot that Avraham Avinu kiyem eskola toira kula, right? Afila erev tavshilin, afila erev techumen. There's two gerses in the Gemara, what exactly the which mitzvah it was. But how did they know? Who gave Avraham Avinu the Torah that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah? He never got the Torah. So how could the Gemara tell us that Avraham Avinu kept the whole Torah? He says the answer to the question is that Avraham Avinu was so appropriately worked out in his midot, in his madregot, that he experienced the Torah without ever receiving it. Why? Because he was on that level that every Aver wanted to do what another Aver
what
the corresponding mitzvah in order to keep it. And look, I'll show you, he brings such a beautiful proof to this thought. The Pasuk tells us that when Avram was about to shecht Yitzchak, right, to do the shechita by the Akedah, so what happened? It says, Vayishlach es yodoy, Vayikach es amacheles. He sent out his hand. You never write a person sent out his hand. He stretched out his hand. He moved his hand. What does it mean he sent his hand? The hand is a part of you. You don't send your hand. It's not a separate part of you. There's only one time you find the Lashon in the Torah, Vayishlach. That's by Basia, the daughter of Paro. But there the Gemara already says that there was Nishtarvav, that her hand became longer. So there it's true that the hand was actually sent way beyond the body. There it's actually 100% correct. But in general, it doesn't make any sense Vayishlach es yodei to actually go and to send your hand. What is the definition of those words, to send your hand? He says as follows. He says Avraham Avinu was in tune to do Rotzein Haboira. Whatever Hashem wanted, that's what Avraham did. But Avraham suddenly felt a problem. Hashem said, please, I want you to go and you should bring your son to me on the Akedah and you should kill your son. Did Hashem truthfully want Avraham to do that? Absolutely not. So Avraham noticed that when his hand was about to take that knife, it didn't go. Just didn't go. Beautiful, listen, it's a tremendous thought. So but Hashem told him to do it, and he figures the Yetzer Hara is telling him not to do it. So Vayishlach es yodei, he had to send against his will, he had to send his hand. It's a tremendous thought of what level a person can actually get to. What does the Gemara tell us in Masechtas Shabbos happened when the Yidden got to Har Sinai? Pasku Zehamasan. What does it mean, Pasku Zehamasan? The Zohama that we received from Adam and Chava with the Nachash, right? The Zohamas Nachash left us by Kabbalat HaTorah and we became totally pure, literally at the level of a malach. Right?
So we didn't need the Torah anymore.
Oh, so we didn't even need the Torah, he says. We would have experienced Ili kevon lefnei ha-sinai v'loi nosan lo ni esa Torah. Hashem didn't actually give it to us as a gift. We would have experienced the Torah regardless. Right? And the obvious question is, and if that's the case, so why did Hashem give us the Torah? Okay, that's the next question. I'll tell you another thought. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that we find a very interesting thing that applies to the Torah that doesn't apply to any other study or any other chokhmah. What is that? When you have Torah, it's not that you comprehend the Torah to the level that you study. Another study, the amount of work you put in, that's what you get. You're not going to get more. That's exactly what you're going to get. When it comes to the Torah works on a totally, totally different level. What's the level the Torah works on? And that is that if a person learns and a person is Yirat Shamayim, Hashem gives him a gift and he gives him much more Torah than he actually deserves. It comes into him. Where did that come from? From Hashem's gift of Nesinas HaTorah. So, Ili Kevon Lefnei HaSinai, even if we would have come to HaSinai and we'd have been mastering the Torah on our own, but V'loi Nasan Loni Es HaTorah, we didn't have that special gift of Nesinas HaTorah, Dayenu, that would be for us more than enough. So that's
just...
Because because we've just gotten what we deserve, like a study, like mathematics, whatever you actually, in science, whatever you actually work, that's what you get. But the gift of Nesinas HaTorah, that's something we never would have received. Okay, I happen to have a beautiful pilpul of how to understand this. We will stick more to the pshatim that are more in pshat. But how about a little bit of remes, right? We're talking about pshat, right? A little bit drush, a little soid. Let's get a little, you know, the covered Pesach. Let's get a little bit. Let's get a bit more, deeper. Let me tell you a very, very nice thought, which is written in the Sefer. One of the greatest thinkers of all time was Reb Tzadik. He wrote the Sforim Tzidkas HaTzadik. Let's talk a little bit Reb Tzadik, and then let's go talk. You know, there's one time in Shas that Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes a Soid Sefer, a Sefer from Soid. And he says, look in that Sefer, you'll see a Dova Nechmat, something beautiful. So if Rabbi Kiva Eger already says that there's a Soid which is very beautiful, let's see if we can get to that Soid. Firstly, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Psochim that Pehei Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us Kizesa de Pischa vehilila ipoka igra. Listen to this: from the Kizayis of the Korban Pesach vehilila, and from Halo, poka igra. They went through the roof in song, right? That, because you know the excitement. They went through the roof. Now it's a very beautiful Gemara. That's how Rashi explains that the singing and the excitement was so great that they went through the roof. Now, it's a nice way of Rashi to explain the Gemara, but Reb Tzadik says, obviously, if there is a Gemara that expresses itself, that they went through the roof, right? There's got to be a deeper meaning of what does it mean to go through the roof, right? That's what Reb Tzadik says. So Reb Tzadik says a beautiful thought, and Reb Tzadik says that there is a roof, there is a gag, which is always mavdil, which separates us between our Father and Shemayim, between Avinu Sheba Shemayim. And he says, what happens is, on Pesach night, the Madrega gets so great, and we can elevate ourselves to such a high level, that this Gag HaMavdil, this roof that separates between us and Hashem, is removed. And Poka Igra, the roof that's between us and Hashem, suddenly is totally removed, and we have the ability to go straight through, all the way up to Hashem in Shemayim. Rav Tzadik says this goes a step deeper. Why is the gag, the roof, what separates us and Hashem? What is the significance of the gag? The gag is the gimel. The Rosh Tevis, two gimels, right? The Rosh Tevis of the word gimel is Hashem Moloch Geis Lovesh. Geis, having gaiva, is something. Geis, having gaiva, is something that only belongs to Hashem. Nobody else has the right to be a bal gaiva. There's a pasuk in Omos, perik beis pasuk vav, al shloisha pishe Yisrael val arba lo yashiveni. Hashem says as follows: There are three averis, which are the averis of Klai Yisrael, val arba, and because of the fourth lo yashiveni, I cannot forgive them. Al shloisha pishe Yisrael means on three. Every time a person does an avera, there is a pegam, and the pegam is one of the aleph beis in the Torah, which is corresponding to that avera that he did. That's why on Yom Kippur, when you say vidu, we say ashamnu, bagadnu, based on the aleph beis, because we need to go and correct the aleph beis that we had a pegam in those aleph beis. Now, when we do gaiva, we have a pegam, and the pegam is in the letter gimel, and gimel has four letters in the Gimel Yud Mem Lamed, and it's the third letter in the Aleph base. So Reb Tzadik says that's what the Pasuk in Omos means to tell us. Al Shloisha Pishe Yisrael, on Shloisha, on three, on the Gimel, that's the greatest Chet Klal Yisrael can do. But Va'al Arba, because of those four letters of Gimel, Hashem Moloch Geis Lovesh Gaiva, that belongs just to Hashem, Lo Yashiveni, there's no way I can forgive. Because as the Gemara tells us in Masechta Soita, when a person is a Bagaiva, Hashem says, Ein Ani Vehu Yecholon Lo De Bedira Achas. We can't go and live in the same Dira. What happened by Paroi? Paroi was the greatest source of a Bagaiva. What did he say? Liyah Oiri, I created the Nile. Ani Asasini, I'm a god myself. And he created that he should be a tremendous Bagaiva. What is the goal Pesach night? The goal Pesach night is to remove that gag that separates us and Hashem. And suddenly Pesach night, we go into the level of connecting directly to Hashem by correcting what Paroi did, and we go into the level of Anivas. I'll tell you, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Masechta Shabbos quotes something fascinating. Listen to this, Rabbi Kivei, what Rabbi Kivei says. The Gemara says on Masechtas Shabbos, it's Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that there was a story with Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch. What happened with Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch? Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch went and he left his regular city and he moved out to a city where there was a lot of luxuries, right? The Gemara writes that they had, you know, luxuries, and it was very, the weather was very nice there. There was a lot of water, there was a lot of swimming. And he came back to visit the Chacham after many years. And Rabbi Elezer ben Aruch was one of the three greatest Gedolim of his times. And when he came back to visit, so they gave him an aliyah, and it was Pasha's boy. And instead of reading HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, what did he read? HaCheresh Hoya Liba. Now the obvious question is, how do you make such a mistake? I mean, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem means this is your month, and HaCheresh Hoya Libam, their hearts were deaf. HaCheresh is deaf, Hoya was Libam, their heart. Now that's a tremendous mistake. This must be a much deeper meaning in what is the significance of this error that he made. So Rabbi Kivega, in the Sai of Shas, said, in the Sefer Gelion HaShas, says, Ayin B'Sefer Kanayim. Look in the Sefer Kanayim. Sefer Kanayim is a Sefer written many years ago, which is only Soit. And he says, you'll see there a Dover Nechmat, something beautiful. Now, Rabbi Kivega says, Bilikutim, and the Likutim in the back of the Sefer, that was written by Rabbi Shamshon Ostropolyo. And if you read it, he says there's something which is absolutely fascinating. You listen to this Soit that even Rabbi Kivega was actually impressed with. From HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem to HaCheresh Hoya Libam, what change truthfully takes place? Let's think this through very well. In HaChodesh, it becomes from, that's right, it becomes HaChodesh, and Dalet becomes a Resh. Hazeh becomes Hoya Zayin to a Yud. Libam to Lechem to Libam, a Chaf to a Base. So what happened? Dalet Zayin Chaf turned into Resh Yud Base. So Rav Shamshon Ostropolyo shares with us a very important secret. And the secret is as follows. He says that Dalet Zayin Chav is 31. That's the gematria of Kale, Aleph Lamed. That's the shame of Zikaron. That's the shame of remembering. Resh Yud Beis, which is 212, which is Riv, that means to fight, is the shame of Shikha, of forgetting. So Rav Shamshon Ostropolyo tells us that by HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, turning to HaCheresh Hoya Libam, since he went out and he became in a madrega of being more haughty, and he was not machni himself like he was till then, so suddenly he, the klipa of Riv, Resh Yud Beis, set in, and he lost his Shem HaZikaron, which is Dalet Zayin Chav, which is Kale, and that is what he lost. That is the significance of what happened there. Listen, there's a Chasam Soifa in Masechtas Pesachim, Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis, that writes something which is fascinating. We know that Pesach night, you need to take the Moror, and you need to dip the Moror in Charoises, right? That's what it says. Why? So the Gemara tells us you have to be Mevatel Kafa. There's a certain shade that sits on the Moror, and this shade is Kafa, Kuf Pei Aleph, and if you don't get rid of this Kafa, it can harm you. That's what the Gemara says in Pesachim, Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis. Dr. Chasam Soifa, I'll tell you the secret who this Kafa is, who Kafa actually is. He says, if you take the Resh Yud Beis, which is 212, and you deduct from Resh Yud Beis, Dalet Zayin Chof, which is Kale, which is 31, the result will be 181, which is Kafa. Hafodik, that's a Chasam Soifa, Kuf Tezvav Amud Beis, in his Chidushim on Masechtas Pesachim. It's a tremendous Chasam Soifa. Now listen, let's take this a step further. Now that we already have his words, and let's build here a step further. When you have the Riv, which is Resh Yud Beis, this klipa of Riv, where is it? It's at the doorpost of every single Jewish home. It's out in the street, and when you come into your house, that Riv wants to come in, right? That's why a house has to be a place with shalom bias. Has to be shalom, no Riv in the house. So, and every time you want to enter into your house, this Riv tries to come in. Where's the Riv? At your door, right? That's written in the Sforim, because it says, Divrei Rivois, where's the Riv? Bishorecha, at your door. And the Gro writes in Sefer Aderes Elio that's what a person has to be mechavin every time he leaves the house, that he's leaving his house, which is shalom, and he's entering into the street, which is a place of riv, and that's the point of kissing the mezuzah, because when you kiss the mezuzah, you say, I want to take the shalom along with me into the street, and I shouldn't have the riv of the street should have any effect on me. If you take a look at the back of every mezuzah, there are three shemot, right? Chav, vav. What's that? Of course, but that's your house. The mezuzah is what separates that the Riv shouldn't have the ability to come in. How does the mezuzah have the ability that the Riv should not come in? If you take a look in the Shach says on the back of every mezuzah, there are three shemot which are written, right? Chav, Vav, Zayin, Vav. You ever see on the back of a mezuzah, there are three shemot that are written. If you take the numerical value of all of those numbers together, Chav, Vav, Zayin, Vav, those three shemot, the numerical value is 213, which is one greater than Riv. That is the remez of why that the mezuzah keeps the Riv outside and doesn't let it into the house. Zokter Psham Shnosrapolya, when a Klai Yisrael went and said, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, and they were makabel the Korban Pesach, and they were makabel to remove the Tum of Mitzrayim and not to be Balgaivas. So what happened? They will mevatel the Riv. And that's why the Psham Shnosrapolya says that the numerical value of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem is Tov Chav Dalet, which is 424, which is double Riv, two times Riv, because by HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, the Riv of Mitzrayim became Batel Chad Betray, one in two, and therefore didn't exist anymore. That's the remez that Rabbi Kivega says. It's worthwhile to look in Reb Shamshon Osterpolya, and he says it's a Dove Nechmat. Rabbi Kivega himself believed that that remez was a Dove Nechmat. It's a half of a Feldiker remez. No, what happens Pesach night? So Pesach night we sit down, and what do? We remove that gag, Reb Tzadik said, right? We remove that gag of Gaiva, the Gimel Gimel, Hashem Moloch Geis Lovesh. And what happens? Kizesa, the Pischa Vihilila, from the Kav Pesach and the Halal Poka Igra. And that's why Halal and Pesach is the Gematria, is 213, because that together is Mavatal, this Riv, Kizesa, the Pischa Vihilila, and then Poka Igra, the actual roof, can come off, and we can go and connect ourselves. And that's what we can do on Pesach night, to connect ourselves much closer to the Rabbi Nishleil.